Eden's going to read the Bible to us today from John chapter 15, verses 18 through 16, verse 4. And you can find that in your Bibles on your seats on page 1677.
If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you.
Thanks so much for reading, Eden. Well, good morning. If we haven't met, my name's Tom. I'm a mapper here at Trinity Church Unley. It's great to be with you today as we listen in on some of Jesus' parting words to his disciples in the Gospel of John. I'm just going to pray again and then we'll dive into it. Father, as we open your word, we pray that you would, no matter what our weeks have been like, you would quieten our minds and our hearts, that you would speak to us by your Spirit. Help us to see your Son and help us to remember his word so that we might be prepared to endure as followers of him. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, every year in school, we had the cross country. That's what it was called. And it was a 4-kilometer run. And for me, I dreaded it every year because it was always around this time of year. I can remember one year it was really early in the morning. It was freezing cold. It was done on a horse racing field. And the fog was so thick that you couldn't even see who was running in front of you. And running far really hurts. I didn't mind running short distances, but when you have to run a long way, it burns in your legs. If your mind isn't ready, if you haven't prepared, it's easy to stop and give up. I've never really loved running long distance, and I don't really understand the people that do. Maybe you're different to me. Maybe you like running. But imagine you turned up to cross country, as I did, ready to go, thinking it was going to be like an evening stroll. You thought it was going to be easy. No problem. Wasn't going to hurt in the legs at all. As soon as you felt some pain in your legs, you felt the lactic acid building in your muscles, you'd think, something's wrong. And you'd probably be tempted to stop because you weren't expecting it, because you weren't prepared for what you might face. In our passage, Jesus is preparing his disciples. If the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. He tells them this so that if they face hatred in his name, they don't say, we've taken the wrong path, I think, here. But they say, oh, didn't our Savior tell us to be ready for this? Didn't they hate him first? And Jesus' words are a part of his farewell discourse to his disciples. And this is actually a big section of the Gospel of John, from chapters 13 through to 17. And it's part of Jesus' parting words to his disciples before he goes to the cross. And he's comforting them largely in this section. He's gathering them in and comforting them. And he's readying them for the journey ahead as followers of him. And I don't know about you, but as I look at these few chapters, I imagine it would have been quite a roller coaster for his disciples. Their Lord washes their feet back in chapter 13, takes the position of a slave, and commands them to serve each other. And in chapter 14, he comforts his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And he promises that though he is going, he will come to them in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will teach them all things and will remind them of everything he has said to them. Verse 26 of chapter 14. And in the last few weeks as a church, we've been looking at John chapter 15, which comes in the middle of this section called the Farewell Discourse. Jesus has urged his disciples to remain in his love, and he's commanded them to love one another as he has loved them. And as we get to verse 18 of chapter 15, well, it feels like this verse sticks out a bit like a sore thumb after verse 17. There's a real contrast in Jesus' words. He's just commanded them to love one another, and now he talks about being ready to face hatred from the world. If you've got your Bibles there, I'd encourage you to open them up. We're going to listen in on the conversation between Jesus and his disciples. It's on page 1677. Starting in verse 18. And we're going to see three main points for the Christian to remember to be prepared to endure as Christians. Remember, you belong to Jesus. Remember, rejecting Jesus is rejecting God. Remember Jesus' words. Firstly, remember, Christian, you belong to Jesus. When Jesus' disciples face hatred from the world, they're to keep in mind that he was first hated, verse 18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. And it's not surprising, given the effect that we've seen Jesus have on people in his ministry, in John's gospel. When Jesus went about his ministry on earth, people often reacted in one of two ways. Those that loved him deeply. Many of them left their jobs to follow him. People followed him everywhere, and some people gave up what they had. Or those that hated him deeply. They conspired against him, and ultimately, he was killed. Jesus himself says, "My kingdom is not of this world." And that hatred of Jesus from those that don't know him flows to the disciples because they have been chosen by Jesus out of the world. Have a look in verse 19. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Jesus continues this idea in verse 20. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. This is what Jesus has already said to them when he was washing their feet back in chapter 13. What he's showing is the disciples of Jesus are intimately connected with him. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. And the world does this because it does not know God. It does this because of Jesus, verse 21. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. That is, they do not know the Father. In sports, sometimes a player leaves a team to play for a rival club. And sometimes when the two teams play each other, it's called a revenge game. This is where the new club plays the old club. And of course, this is the game that brings all the eyes. Why do you think that is? The fans of the old team are furious. This player belonged to their team and now they belong to another. Jesus has chosen his people out of the world. His people do not belong to the world anymore. And the world now hates them. Saul of Tarsus violently persecuted Christians. He approved of the killing of a Christian called Stephen in Acts chapter 8. And he was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples on his way to Damascus to persecute more Christians. He was out to get Christians. On the road, he encountered the risen Christ. He was completely transformed by this encounter. Suddenly, he went from persecuting Christians to spending his life being persecuted for Jesus' name. He became the Apostle Paul. He was imprisoned for Christ. He was flogged. He was beaten with rods, pelted with stones. He became hated by the world because he was chosen out of it by Christ. Now, as followers of Jesus today, we need to be prepared that we may face hatred in his name. Today, our lives might not be under threat for following Jesus. Hatred from the world might look a little bit different, but it's just as real. I wonder if you've ever faced hatred for standing with Jesus. Maybe it's led to social pressure for you. Maybe you've lost some friends, or you've been laughed at because of your beliefs in Jesus. Maybe you've missed out on opportunities at work because you're a Christian. Maybe you're here today and you felt that pressure to compromise on your faith and stay silent about Jesus. Remember who you belong to. Jesus' words still remain true today. If they hate you, keep in mind they hated me first. And maybe you've heard someone say, all religions lead to God. That is not what we know as Christians. Jesus has just said to his disciples in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the message the disciples carry, and it's the same message we carry as his followers today. Jesus is the only way to the Father. That brings division. Remember how the world hated him first. In the context of when Jesus says this, the disciples are about to see this hatred in an ultimate form. It won't be long. Jesus will be betrayed, he'll be arrested, and executed on a cross like a Roman slave. That's what the world did to the Son of God. He came to that which was his own, yet his own did not receive him. And Christian, remember that's who you belong to. You may face hatred in his name. And remember, rejecting Jesus is rejecting God. Have a look in verse 22. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. So what does Jesus mean here when he says they would not be guilty of sin? Well, I don't think he means they would not be guilty of any sin at all. But I think what he's speaking about is one of the most central sins, a very controlling sin. That is the sin of rejecting God. See, they've seen his works and yet rejected him, verse 24. They hated both him and his Father. And the sin of rejecting the truth about Jesus is a sin against God. I and the Father are one, Jesus says. And throughout the story of the Bible, we see this pattern. The hatred or rejection of the one that is sent by God is connected to hatred of God. Just think of the prophets in the Old Testament. There was a prophet, Jeremiah, who was beaten in prison and thrown in a cistern for proclaiming God's message. In Ezekiel, let me just read from chapter 3 what God says to Ezekiel in verse 7. But the people of Israel are not willing to listen to you because they're not willing to listen to me. There's a pattern of rejection of the messengers of God. Rejecting the messenger from God is a rejection of God. And now the Son of God himself has come in Jesus. God himself in the flesh. And the world has rejected him. Their guilt runs deep because of who they have rejected. My brother Jacob told me to do something. I could ignore what he asked me to do, and there probably wouldn't be consequences. If your boss or teacher told you to do something, and you said, that's okay, that might be more serious if you ignored them because of who they are. There might be consequences. If you stood before a judge in court, you heard the verdict from the judge, and you said, I don't recognize your authority. That would be far more serious, not because of what you've said, but because of who the judge is. If you stood before Jesus, saw him doing the works no one else did, you saw the evidence that this is the Son of God, and said, I will not have you rule over me. That's the most serious rejection of all, because it's a rejection of God, verse 24. They have hated both me and my Father. Why does the world hate Jesus? Well, we've already seen in John chapter 7, Jesus has said in verse 7, the world hates him because he testifies that its works are evil. The light shines in the darkness. He exposes their sin, and the world hates him because of it. And what we see is that this hatred of Jesus is a fulfillment of God's word. Look in verse 25, back in John 15. Jesus is the ultimate author of Scripture as God himself, and of course that means he has such a deep knowledge of it himself. He knows this is simply what was written. And it's simply to fulfill what was written in their law. Their own law condemns them. They hated me without reason. When Jesus says this in your Bibles, there's a little footnote at the bottom that references two verses in the Psalms. Psalm 69 in particular is all about a righteous sufferer. And Jesus knows these words, and he's not surprised by their hatred because he remembers the word of God. That's why he stands so sturdy. He knows exactly why this is playing out. You can hear the rain on the roof at the moment. When you check the weather app, you're kind of doing something similar. Let's say maybe you check the weather. You knew that today it was going to rain. There was going to be 40 mil of rain. Let's say you woke up today and you saw the clouds were looking ominous, like it was going to rain. You saw the wind starting to pick up. You wouldn't be surprised, would you? You've read the forecast. Rain is coming. Jesus knows the word, and now it's just playing out in real time. The Son will be rejected. They hated him without reason. This is what the world has done to God. So remember, rejecting Jesus is rejecting God. And now we'll see, Christian, remember Jesus' words so you don't fall away if opposition comes. Look at verse 26. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Do these two verses seem out of place to you? All of a sudden, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. But remember, he's been talking about the Spirit already in chapter 14. These verses are not out of place because they help us answer a key question that's been raised so far. It's this: how is Jesus still being testified about if he's going? And the answer is, the Holy Spirit will testify, and so will the disciples. The disciples did testify to Jesus. They started the church, and some of them wrote that testimony down. That's what we have right here. They went on to write the New Testament. And today, the world still encounters Jesus through the Word of God, as the Holy Spirit testifies through it. Why do Christians still face opposition today? God still speaks of Jesus through his Holy Spirit today. The world encounters God through the Word of God. Christians are hated because God is hated. But doesn't that show us also how precious his word is to us? Through it, the Holy Spirit enables us to remain in Jesus, reading the scriptures, dwelling on the scriptures, meditating on Jesus' words. Means we can be prepared so that we can remain with him. We take his word seriously for whatever comes our way in our walk with Jesus. And Jesus models for his disciples what he's calling them to do. He knows the scriptures. They're his words. Verse 25, he knew how to interpret the hatred from the world. It was what was written in their law. Christians can too. We have his words. Remember his words. His word is linked with his Holy Spirit. The disciples will receive help from the Spirit to remember Jesus' words in John 14, 26. And he goes on in the end of chapter 16 to tell them why he is warning them. Sorry, the start of chapter 16. All this I've told you so that you will not fall away, verse 1 of chapter 16. So he's telling them this so they don't fall away. The disciples will face religious opposition, even death for following Christ, verse 2. They'll put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. But it's because they don't know Jesus or the Father. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. And Jesus calls his disciples to remember his words, verse 4. I've told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. As Christians in Australia today, there's a more subtle danger from the world. There's a real temptation to hide your faith because it's more comfortable. To avoid any kind of opposition for standing with Jesus. And John has already shown us this danger. Many people believed in Jesus, but they wouldn't confess him publicly because they loved the praise of people more than the praise of God, John 12:43. So there's this temptation that subtly a love for the praise of what everyone else thinks becomes bigger than a love for the praise of God. What do you love more? The praise of other people feels attractive, but never satisfies. The world in its present form is passing away. The world can't deliver on anything it might promise. but Christ can. Towards the end of the discourse, look at what Jesus says in John 16, verse 33. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus is right now risen and reigning from heaven. And for the Christian, Jesus stands with you today by his Holy Spirit. Jesus' first words to Saul on the road to Damascus, why do you persecute me? I've mentioned my dislike of the cross-country running as a child. The author of Hebrews likens the Christian life to a race. In Hebrews 12, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. How? How do we run this race? Verse 2 is the key. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. If they hate you, keep in mind they hated me first. We follow the one that first endured. Now we have a race to run if you're a Christian. But not alone. The Spirit has now come, and he's with us today. The Son has won the victory, and the Christian is heading home. Keep your eyes on your Savior. Consider him. If they hate you, keep in mind they hated him first. He stands with you now and waits for you at the end. Christians can keep their eyes on Christ. An eternity with him. Nothing in this world comes close to what they have in Christ. They've found something far more valuable than anything in this world. Christ himself. When trials come, Jesus will keep them by his Holy Spirit. He'll keep you. A Christian can say, when any opposition comes for following Jesus, my Savior told me this would be so. With him, I will endure because he first endured. And one day, I'll be home with him. We've heard today, Jesus is preparing his followers. He says, if they hate you, keep in mind they hated me first. So Christian, you can be prepared to endure by remembering Christ. How might you remember him? What might you do to remember his words each week so that you're prepared? Maybe you might want to join a small group to read his words with others, your brothers and sisters. Maybe it means coming along to youth group, being reminded of his words. Maybe it's just listening to a really solid Christian music to fix your eyes on him each day on your way to work. Whatever you need to do to remember his words, to remember that you belong to Jesus. Remember, rejecting Jesus is rejecting God. So that you can be prepared to face whatever you may face as a Christian. But is it worth it? Is losing the world and gaining Christ really worth it? Let me finish from these words from Paul in Philippians 3. In verse 7, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. The world may take things from you, but it can never take Christ from you. If you have him, you have everything you need. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this warning from Jesus that if they hate us as Christians, they first hated him. We ask that you'd help us to remember his words so that we might be prepared to endure as followers of you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, that he walks with us now. Help us to stand as Christians and endure because you first endured for us. We ask for your help in this by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.